Good morning, church family. The passage today is Isaiah 58, 6 through 12. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness and undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." You take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and speaking wickedness. If you pour yourselves out for the hungry, and satisfy the desire of the afflicted. Then shall your light rise in the darkness, and your gloom shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt, and you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. Church, this is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Beth. Go ahead and have a seat. Join me in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege we have to gather and to sing your praises. Father, to fix our eyes upon the work that you've done in your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, just ask and pray that as we now turn our attention to your word, Lord, that you'd guide us, that you'd lead us. Father, that you would help us to be submissive under your word, that you would help us to live our lives in accordance with your word, not to just be hearers of it, but doers of it as well. Father, because we know that life is in your word. Life is found in what you have called us to. Life is found, obviously, through Christ, your Son, and the work that he's accomplished through us or for us. But Father, life is in accordance with your ways, not our own. And so, Lord, as we look at these things, as we consider these things, help our eyes to be open, help our ears to be open, help our hearts to be soft, that we might hear from you this morning. Pray and ask these things in your name. Amen. So, as you can tell, we're in a topic today on fasting. So, if this is your first time at Central Christian Church, welcome. We're glad that you're here on a day where we get to talk about fasting, which is, I know, everybody's favorite topic. It's something that we talk about all the time in the church, with this idea of withholding sustenance from ourselves for some reason or another. Well, here's the thing. As we consider fasting, we believe fasting is an important thing for the body of Christ, for his people. And it's, even though it's not something we talk a ton about in our day and age, we are familiar with it. I mean, people fast all over the place in our country and in our culture. Like, intermittent fasting has become kind of a fad in today's world for both health reasons as well as losing weight. There's other reasons for fasting. Sometimes y'all just get too busy and you forget to eat lunch. I don't understand you people, but I know you're out there. You're just so busy with the day that you just kind of fast right on through lunchtime or breakfast or dinner or whatever it is. But there's all kinds of fasting that goes on. And there's all kinds of people that just say, like, I don't want to fast. Like, that's something I'm not going to do. And there's some good reasons for that. Some people can't fast because of health reasons. Some people don't want to fast because the whole idea of it feels like this religious act, this religious duty, and they don't want to have any part of such a thing. But then there's those who would fast with a heart of faith, and they fast regularly. And they do it for the right reasons, and they do it in the right way, the way that God has called them to. And most of those that do that regularly would tell us that it's the most beneficial, or one of the most beneficial spiritual disciplines we could ever step into in our lives. And here's the thing. It's not even just unique to Christian faith. Christians do it. Muslims do it. People in the New Age world do it. Hindus do it. Lots of people fast. But here's what I know. As uncomfortable as the idea of fasting is, as some of you may like it, some of you may hate it, here's what we can tell and know for sure is this, that as believers, we know Jesus, our Lord, practiced fasting, and he assumed it would be normative for the life of every believer. That's important. Jesus fasted. The Son of God fasted. Before he went into the wilderness, he was fasting. He went into the wilderness and fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Never done that fast. Don't know that I'd survive that fast. Like, that's a big thing. He fasted. When he's asked about fasting by the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 9, he says that his followers, while they're not fasting now in this moment because he's here, they would fast. In Matthew chapter 6, he's talking to his disciples, and he tells them, when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast. And he gave them directions about appropriate ways to do so. So here's the thing. Fasting should be part of our lives. Every believer, something he's called us to, is something he exampled. We should be a fasting people. We should be a praying people. We should be a fasting people. Isaiah 58, it begins, though, with a rebuke to the people of God because they were fasting in a way that was displeasing to God, a false kind of fasting. And it's laid out for us in verses 1 through 5. We did not read verses 1 through 5, but for the sake of us understanding the context of the text we did read, I want to briefly address some of those ideas in regards to false fasting. But before I do that, like we need to start off with this idea and understanding of recognizing that we all come into this space with an idea about something like fasting. And I want to just encourage you, regardless of what your idea is, we need to first and foremost be mindful of this one question. Will we be submissive to what God has called us to do? Will you? Will I? Even if it's something we don't like to do, even if it's something we don't necessarily see the value of in this day, right now, in this morning. Will we be submissive if the Lord calls us to do something? Will we actually be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word? Pose that question to you. And pose it as we start to look at this idea of what is a false idea of fasting? What is a false fasting? What's most interesting is that the people of Israel seem to be very deceived in thinking that they were doing this really great thing in Isaiah 58 when they are starting to fast. They thought they were pursuing the Lord. But as often as the case, even their worship had been tainted by pride. They were not listening to what the Lord really wanted when it came to their fasting, when it came to their worship. They were worshiping the way they thought they should worship, which is crazy to think about. But it's easy for us to fall into similar traps, isn't it? Traps where we perform certain religious activities without submitting those activities, their motives, or their content to God, who is the one who's given us those activities, the one who's called us to step into those activities. Like, so much of worship today is just the way we do it. It's we live the lives we do and the way we want to live them. We pray the way we want to pray. We sing songs the way we want to sing songs, and we fast the way we want to fast. But God has called us and told us this is the way to do it. Now, in some ways, it's a little by if I were to say to my wife, hey, babe, I love you, and I want to show you how much I love you, and so this week I'm going to take you out on a date. And I just want you to be prepared that this date is going to be epic. Like, we're going to go get all gussied up and get really dressed up. And we're going to go to this really, really fancy restaurant. And we're going to eat this really fancy meal. And then afterwards, we're going to go to this really cool place. And we're going to dance together with all these other people. And it's going to be super fun and exciting. And that would be great if I want to show love to my wife that way, except for the fact that if you know my wife, she would hate all of that. Right? Like, some of y'all ladies were like, sweet, why wouldn't my husband do that? If I did that to my wife, she'd be like, why are you doing this? I don't want to do this. That's not who she is. Like, she'd rather go to Chipotle and just walk around Target with me and talk. Like, that's literally, that's our date. Like, that's what we'd love to do. Like, so this is the point. Like, you don't say to somebody, I want to worship you, or I want to love you, or I want to express something to you, and then you just do it the way you want to do it. And so many people, when it comes to these kinds of ideas, they do and approach what God has called them to, not the way he's called them to, but the way they want to do it. And that's what the people of Israel were doing. They weren't listening. In this text, though, we see three marks of a fast that is not only not recognized by God, but a fast that is actually abhorrent to him, one that he hates. And the first is a fast that has selfish motivation. Look what we see in verse 3 of chapter 58. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. You see what the people of Israel are saying? Like, listen, we're pursuing you. Like, why have we fasted? Why did we humble ourselves? Like, do you hear their entitlement? It's like a child saying, well, I did what you told me to do. I cleaned my room. Like, I did all these things. Like, I delighted in you. Why aren't you responding the way I think you should respond? See, here's the point. People of Israel, at that time, were fasting to get. In a way, they were trying to twist God's arm into seeing them, into recognizing them, into hearing their voices. This is the way it can be oftentimes with our religious acts. God gives us prayer. God gives us scripture reading. He gives us going to church. He gives us giving of tithes and offerings. He gives us fasting. These are means of grace that he uses to work in us. But any of these acts, any of them, can become works done to get him to do something, like a contract. Like, right? Like, if we put this in, then God will spit this out. Right? If I read this Bible this many times a day, like God will do this for me. That's why so many people, oftentimes, they get upset and they get angry with God because they go to church and then something horrible happens in their life. And they say, well, what was all that for? Like, my circumstances are bad. Things are going awful for me. Like, why'd I go to church if you didn't make my life perfect? If you didn't make things good for me? Like, that's what the people of Israel are doing. And so many people can fall into that trap. And so we need to always, always beware of our motivations. Second, regarding false fasting, is when we consider hypocritical humility. They say that they're humbling themselves in Isaiah 58. Just as the Pharisees of Jesus' days would have said to him, they're humbling themselves, but in reality, and this is a matter of the heart, but they were doing a praiseworthy thing out of a praise-craving heart. That is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is doing a praiseworthy thing out of a praise-craving heart. They're doing it to be noticed. They're doing it to be seen. Their fasting was pointed inwards, which is the antithesis to humility. And like yes, fasting is good, but they wanted to be seen by God, praised by God. Have God come and be like, man, wow, you guys are amazing for fasting and humbling yourselves. But again, that's hypocrisy. Doing a praiseworthy thing with a praise-craving heart. Next, false fasting is one that seeks its own business. Go again to Isaiah 58:3. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. The Hebrew words here actually mean your own business. Again, inwardly focused. They said one thing, but they did something different. Another great text to help us see this idea is in Ezekiel chapter 33, where he says, and they come to you as people come, and they sit before you as my people, and they hear what you say, but they do not do it. For with lustful talk in their mouths they act, their heart is set on their gain. So this is so often what we can be tempted to do. They sit before, come to sit before God and declare us as his people, and we hear what he says, but we don't do it. We just justify all the reasons why this isn't important or that's not important or why I shouldn't have to lay this down or I shouldn't have to lay that down or I shouldn't have to be faithful in this way. We make all these justifications ultimately because our heart is set upon our own gain. God, we want you, we want you, we want you. but only if it's in accordance with the way I want to live my life. In these ideas, he becomes a means to an end. And brothers and sisters, I will tell you this, he will not have it. He's God. And so as we talk about fasting, and it's not just fasting, but any spiritual discipline, we have to examine our hearts first to ensure that in our hearts, we're not guilty of any of these things when it comes to false fasting. But I do want to turn to a kind of fasting that God does applaud, one that he actually expects, an authentic fast. He says in verse 6, he says, "Is this not the fast that I choose?" Well, what is it? Well, in short, an authentic fast will turn you outward as it weakens the flesh and strengthens the spirit. This should be the great battle going on in each and every one of us, recognizing that we have the flesh and the spirit battling for supremacy at any given moment in our lives. I think we can feel it. I think most of us understand that. Like, it's the whole idea that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 7, and he says, like, why do I do the things I don't want to do, but I don't do the things that I do want to do? Like, it's these two things living inside of us, fighting the flesh and the spirit all the time. It's like having two pet lions, and we only have one steak. One represents the flesh, and one represents the spirit. And if you're feeding the lion of the flesh, it will grow strong and be powerful, while the lion of the spirit starves. And the lie that Satan tries to get most of us to think about is this, that we can split the steak in half and we can feed the spirit and the flesh. It is not possible in God's economy. It can't do it. You cannot feed them both equally. Either you're feeding the flesh and starving the spirit, or you're starving the flesh and feeding the spirit. And this is what he's calling us to do. This is what he wants us to do. This is why God chooses this type of fast. See, the flesh is by nature active and strong, and we need to do everything we can as believers in Jesus Christ to kill it. And that's not fun. We don't like to talk about that. We talk about all the encouraging and wonderful things that God does for us, and we miss the whole point that we're oftentimes called to kill the flesh, to kill the old man that lives inside of us. And as we do that, as you step into an authentic fast, what you find is you find that the flesh is starved and the spirit grows stronger. And what happens in our lives when the spirit begins to grow stronger? What do we get out of it? We get the fruit of the spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These things will increase in our lives. Now, do you notice anything about this fruit? Where's the focus of this fruit? Most of it's outward, isn't it? All right, love. Love isn't focused on yourself, it's focused on others. In fact, we see in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about love being self-denying. You seek the honor of others, you seek to lift others up. Like, this is the fruit of the Spirit. Joy and peace, a trust in God in any circumstance. That's probably the two most self-centered of these fruits. But what about patience? How many of you want patience? Go ahead and raise your hand. Do you want patience? Some of y'all are laughing because you know where this is going, right? Like, you want to know the hardest thing to pray is, Lord, give me patience. Because you know how he usually answers you? Giving you someone who you really are impatient with. Right? It's outward focus. It's like the fruit of the Spirit is to be patient with someone that you normally wouldn't be, or a circumstance in which you normally wouldn't be. What about kindness? Can you be kind? Like, to just yourself? Is that what the call of the Spirit is? No, it's to be kind to those outside of you, to focus that kindness on someone else, even your enemy. Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Like, this is the fruit of the Spirit. This is what we want to see come about in our lives. And ultimately, the fruit of the Spirit is about God's heart. It's about God's work and the Spirit's leading in our lives. Which we saw, which is why we see this list in Isaiah 58 of all of the things that come out of an authentic fast. So again, look at our text again this morning, starting in verse 6. I'm not going to read it. I'm just going to list the things that we find there that we see come out of an authentic fast. The loosing of the bond of the wickedness. Relieve heavy burdens. Free the oppressed. Provide for the hungry. Bring the homeless into your home. And care for yourself. Really, your flesh is what it talks about there. So that's kind of like your family and your home and yourself. The point is, God is making in this text is that it's about what makes God happy, not us. These are things that we're to live out of our lives. These are how the fruit of the Spirit bears out itself in our lives. It's not just ways, fasting is just not just intended as a way to manipulate God to get him to hear us better. These are outworkings and evidences of true humility that is seeking God and his kingdom above this world. It's the fruit that is born out of a fast that seeks to pursue God and walk in step with the Spirit by starving something so basic to our flesh as food. And we see in Isaiah 58 that it causes us to be a light as we walk in accordance with his will, which is what we see in verse 8 and reiterated again in verse 10. Fasting helps us align with his heart and his will. This alignment is part of what guarantees that he will hear our prayers. 1 John chapter 5 says this, and this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to what? His will, he hears us. See, the whole point of fasting, it's not about upward mobility. How can I get better? How can I get more? How can I get God to listen to me and do the things that I want him to do? It's about downward mobility, reorienting ourselves to the Lord and his will and to his purposes. Now, when we fast in a way that is authentic, there are some outcomes that we see in Isaiah 58 that we should desire, things that we should want. Those begin in verse 11. Here's some outcomes of an authentic fast. As the Lord hears your prayers, he promises to first guide you. Something happens as you begin to fast humbly, praying for his guidance. First, you're going to be more aware of the desires of your flesh. Ever heard the term hangry? And we all know what that is, right? Like you get hungry and it's like something happens in us, like that gnawing hunger oftentimes leads other aspects of our flesh to rear its ugly head, right? Anger, impatience, the desire for pleasure. Why? Because the lion is starting to get angry. The lion of the flesh is starting to get hungry. And so it's clawing for power and strength. Romans chapter 8 speaks of this. It says this, for those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on things of the flesh. Fasting is the opposite. It's the opposite. It's removing things of the flesh. It's not setting your minds on the things of the flesh, but in other words, setting mind on things of the Spirit. And when we do that, then we'll begin to live according to the Spirit, as Romans 8:5b tells us. Those who live according to the Spirit set their mind on things of the Spirit. See, fasting is a way of surrendering your flesh to the Spirit. And as you walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh, giving way to all of its cravings, then he will lead you. He will guide you in the things that he desires for you, in things maybe he wants you to change in your own life or work that he wants you to join him in. So oftentimes when people fast, they tell stories or they'll talk about how the Lord will lay a certain person on their heart to pray for, only finding out later that the Lord was working in that. Or maybe he lays on your heart a family to invite into your home. Maybe he lays on your heart to make a meal for someone else instead of eating that meal for yourself. Right? Like the Lord begins to guide and to lead because you're aligning yourself with his heart. You're aligning yourself with his will. And you're not setting your mind on things of the flesh, but of the Spirit. And he will then begin to move. Do you know God wants to guide you? God wants to lead us. He wants to invite us into his work. He wants to lead us by his Spirit, not just in the morning, but moment by moment throughout our entire lives. He wants to guide us, but so many of us, we are constantly and consistently living according to the flesh in our lives. You know where it's hardest? It's in the little stuff, isn't it? Like, you may be not living according to the flesh in all the big things, but it's the little things, like feeding your mind with YouTube or Facebook or TikTok or your business plans or your vacation plans or whatever that is, but we get distracted and we can't hear the guidance of God in our lives. And so many people, they get frustrated because they don't feel God clearly leading them, God clearly guiding them. But here's the question. Are you preparing yourself to be led by the Spirit? Are you willing to surrender your life so that he can guide you? Are you willing to let go of the wheel so that he can steer your life? Like, are you holding on to the wheel, driving in the direction you want to go, saying, God, would you lead me? I think that's the way we mostly ask. We think of it, like we're waiting for God to come and rip our hands off the wheel and force us to go in a direction. I got to drive a friend's Tesla the other day. Kind of a fun experience. I don't know if you've ever had that opportunity or not, but we did that thing where in these new Teslas, you can basically sit in the car and take your hands off the wheel and say, take me to Chick-fil-A. And if you haven't experienced this, it's like super unnerving. But the car will just pull into traffic and go. Like, you just have to like let it take you. Like, I mean, you can take back over the steering by touching the wheel, but it will like pull in front of cars. It will change lanes and go around people with you in the car. I, by the way, hate it. Like, it's awful. I don't think I'd ever use that. Like, it's terrifying to me. Maybe it's just because I don't like technology. Maybe it's because I'm getting old. Some of you young people are like, that'd be the sweetest thing ever. Hate that. But here's the point. Like, when you think about this, like, you got to be willing to let go of the wheel. And what's way different from Tesla versus God is you tell Tesla where you want it to go, God gets to tell us where he wants us to go. Right? Like, he's the one telling us where he wants us to go. And then he's the one who gets to lead us there, and he's the one who gets to take us there. But we've got to take our hands off the wheel enough to listen to him guide us. Fasting is a massive way that we can begin to do that because we're setting our minds not on that of the flesh, but on that of the Spirit. We've got to let go. Entering into a fast is saying, like, God, I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know how you want me to leave. And it may not be because you've got a decision in your life. It may just be because you want him to lead you. And shouldn't that be all of our desires? And the thing we will get is that the Lord will satisfy you. Verse 11 says this. It says, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in the scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Listen, here's what I can promise you about fasting. It will feel like a scorched place. You want to know why? Here's some things fasting won't do for you. Fasting from food in particular will not satisfy your physical hunger. It does the opposite, right? Like, you get hungrier. I don't know if you've ever been hungry enough that it actually hurts. That's not enjoyable. That's a scorched place. Fasting from food, it will not satisfy your lusts. Fasting will not satisfy your desire to be seen. It will not satisfy your desire for success or your desire to gain praise of men. It won't satisfy your desire for wealth. The truth is, nothing can satisfy those desires. Nothing. The more you feed it, the more they need. Just like food. Right? The more you eat, the more you want to eat. We talk about stretching out our stomachs during Thanksgiving. Like, that's real, right? The more you eat, the more you can eat. You'll never be satisfied for those things. Just like with eating, though, the more you eat, the more you will feel your need to eat. Well, this isn't about physical hunger. This is about spiritual hunger. It's about what can most satisfy us. And Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 4, he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Fasting reminds us of our real need, of the Lord. It reminds us who and what we need to pursue, where we can find true joy, where we can find true satisfaction, true fulfillment in our lives, the Lord, his word, and his will. So that no matter how scorched the place is that we find ourselves, we can be satisfied because he is our desire. Fasting is a means of grace that the Spirit uses to change our desires to and toward the true satisfier. So some people would say, well, I don't delight in God. I don't desire God that way. Fasting is a means of grace that God has given to us, the Spirit, to help change those desires in your life. And it's a way to help that and move us towards that. Because in the end of the day, an authentic fast will lead us to be satisfied in God. Next outcome of an authentic fast is that the Lord will strengthen you. He will strengthen you for the task at hand, the task in your day that he will bring about, the things that he may call you to. And there will be a vitality and life welling up in your soul that is given to you as a well-watered spring is what he talks about. Strengthened for those things. Isaiah tells us that not only will we be watered, but we will become a spring of life to those around us. We will become light to those around us. So just like a physical food strengthens your physical body, fasting is like spiritual food that strengthens your spiritual soul. The new creation, the new man, the lightness that's in you. See, these are all outcomes. God will guide us. God will satisfy us. God will strengthen us. But you have to be willing to submit to him and let go of the wheel. Let him lead your life. Now, these are outcomes, but in all of it, the purpose of a fast is this: more of him. That's the point. To get him, to align ourselves to him, not to try to force him to align to us, not to try to force him to align to our desires and our will and the things we want and the things we think we need, but to align ourselves to him. Question is, will we? Will we be willing to step into something that is terribly uncomfortable? Something that none of us like to do. Something that feels painful and hard for the sake of God working in our lives. I hope that you're willing to answer yes to that because he's called us to it for these reasons, because he wants to guide us, because he wants to strengthen us, because he wants to satisfy us. So will you step into it? If you're sitting here thinking like, yeah, I'd love to step into this, well, here's some practical things I want to give to you in regards to fasting. First, set aside time with him. Listen, there's lots of things you can fast from. People talk about fasting from social media or TikTok or whatever things are that's in your life, TV, Netflix, computers. And listen, and there's some real value to that. And maybe that's where you need to start, but there is a real power in fasting from food. Because here's the thing, you may feel, young people, like you're gonna die if you don't get to scroll through Instagram, but you'll be okay. Like, you will. Some of y'all may feel like you're gonna die if you don't enter into at least one death scroll on Facebook per day. Like, you'll be okay. But without food, you can't live. And so you can choose to fast from all kinds of things. And maybe you can choose to fast from something small that's distracting you from God. That's great. God will bless that and honor that. I genuinely believe so. But I would encourage you to consider to fast from food. And when you do, don't use that time to pursue your own desire or your own pleasure. Use that time to pursue him. Have a plan. Have an intent behind it. Like, don't just use the time that you normally eat lunch to check more emails. That's not going to help you find him. Like, that's still distracting your mind, and that's not the point. Like, use the time that you don't normally go to lunch to pray, to read a text of scripture, to do something of that nature. But to look for him. Pursue him. Fasting without the pursuit of God, like, it's just a waste of time. It's pointless. So don't fast from Netflix so you can binge watch Amazon Prime. Right? And surely none of us would think about that, right? Like, don't fast from meat to just fill yourself up with ice cream. Like, these things don't matter, but we need to make sure we're setting aside time for God. Next, practical fasting. Let your hunger drive you to him. Every single time you feel hunger pang. All right, so maybe you're fasting from your phone and you put it away. Every time you feel this like reaction, has anybody ever like tried to fast from your phone before? Like, you know that you do this all the time because you get so used to reaching for it. Every time it buzzes or does this. So even when you do that, but every time you feel a hunger pang, every time you reach for your phone out of reaction or out of habit, what are you gonna do? Do you have a text of scripture that you want to go to? A little prayer that you should pray? A thought that leads you to him? Like, that's the point. When you feel this gnawing hunger for a sandwich inside of your stomach, it should remind you that the real hunger should be for God. And so prepare for that and be ready. So when they come, you've got something to run to. Maybe it's just a little statement in your heart like, Lord, have mercy on my soul. Lord, give me more of you. But let your hunger drive you to him. Next, prepare well. If you haven't ever fasted before, don't just go to a 21-day fast where all you do is drink water. That's probably not going to go very well for you. Like, start small. Prepare well. Be mindful. Educate yourself. We have some resources I'll talk about here later if you want to step into something like that, how you can prepare your body, how you can prepare your heart, how you can prepare your soul. But here's the thing, you may need to talk to your doctor about those things and what the physical ramifications are for your body, but prepare well. And most importantly, why preparing your body is an important thing, like, prepare your heart. Listen, we talk about this sometimes. Like, if you come to church on Sunday morning and you're not prepared, like, it's going to take time to be able to hear from the Spirit. Like, and some of you have felt that before, right? Like if you go out all night beforehand and you're hanging out with your friends and you're partying and you're out till 3 a.m. and you can barely keep your eyes open in the morning and you get up at 9:32 and realize, oh, church started 2 minutes ago. I'm just going to jump in. And like, you run into the service and then there you are on the fifth song. And you get right into the sermon and Darren starts to talk and you start to do this. Like, you're not prepared. You know what I'm saying? And then we wonder why we don't get anything out of what we're engaging in. Like if you are about to go fast for your lunch and you spend 30 minutes on YouTube digging through and watching all kinds of useless garbage on YouTube, your heart's not prepared. Prepare yourself to hear from the Lord. Enter into it well. And finally, end well. As you wrap up a time of fasting, don't just jump back into what you've always done. Consider, has the Lord called you to do something different? If you fasted from food for 7 days, you need to be careful, your body. You don't want to just jump right back in. It can't, oftentimes doesn't cope very well with that. Second, let it be a time of asking the Lord, what things do you want me to change? What things do I need to shift in my life? What habits should I keep maintaining that I've now started in my fast? Has the Lord led you to see areas of your life that are unsurrendered to him? Don't just jump right back in to do all the same things you've always done. How can you be faithful to what God has shown you? How can you be faithful to how God has guided you, how he has led you? If he's begun to satisfy you, how can you continue to walk in that satisfaction in the Lord instead of jump back into satisfying the flesh? So consider, how do I end this? What does it look like for me to end it? Journal those things down. Seek accountability from a trusted friend. It's way too easy for us to just jump right back into life. Here's what I would close with this morning. I would simply close with this. Church, fast. Fast. I would encourage every single person in this room this morning to make a commitment to fast from something this week. from something. And if you're in this room already and you already fast on a regular basis, I would encourage you to ponder, are you fasting in a way that God has called you to? Are you fasting with an authentic heart? Where's your motivations? Are you seeking his guidance and his strength? Are you seeking that he would satisfy you? And reorient yourself, even if you are someone who regularly fasts, to those things. But if you haven't fasted, then it's not a regular part of your life. Like, I would encourage you to commit to that this morning. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask, would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I'm going to ask you right now to ask the Lord, what does he want you to fast from? Maybe it's one breakfast a week. Maybe it's one breakfast this week. Maybe it's fasting from lunch every day this week. Maybe it's fasting from all social media. Maybe it's fasting from all food for an entire day. Maybe it's fasting from watching TV at night. What would God call you to commit to fast from? And if you say, I don't want to fast, I don't need fasting, I don't care about fasting, then I would simply take you back to the text we read of those people who sit and hear and proclaim God as theirs and then refuse to do what he's called them to. What will he call you to fast from? Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Like, can I just ask this question? And I promise I'm not going to ask you anything else, and we're not going to like call you up and pester you. But if you would commit to fast from something this week, would you raise your hand? Okay, I want to pray, Lord, for those in the room that are making that commitment right now, we just pray that you'd be faithful to your word. For some, it's probably the first time they've ever done it. It may feel a little bit scary. It may feel a little strange. Like, man, this seems a little too intense for my faith. But Lord, I want to pray that those that are committing to do that, Lord, that you would meet them. Father, that you'd guide them. Father, I want to pray that as their flesh is starved, that you would satisfy their souls. I pray, Father, that you would lead them into your will. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen them and fill them with your Spirit, bearing his fruit in their lives. I pray, Father, for those this morning that are still in a place where they refuse. They say, I know the Bible calls me to it. I know Jesus did it. I know Jesus wants me to do it, but I'm not going to do it. Lord, I want to pray that you would convict their hearts. Convict all of our hearts to be faithful and obedient to what it is you've called us to, because there's life here. Lord, I just pray that you would lead your people in this. As you ponder what that looks like for you today, I want to a couple of resources I want to give to you. First, grab one of the takeaways, the little blue sheets, some of these questions. I want to continue to have you thinking about this week as you ponder fasting. Secondly, if you're not sure how to do it, we've got these green sheets that you could pick up at Info Central. They've just got some practical steps, some practical things that you can do in the midst of a fast. Like, what does it look like for you? Like, what does it look like in your life? And how can you do it? And how can you be helped by it? The next thing is I'd encourage you to find some accountability. Because here's the thing, if you're like me, you're gonna walk out of this room and life is gonna hit you in the face. And the commitment that you made to fast this week is going to go right out the window. And that's exactly what the enemy would want for you. Like to just forget about it, or they think it's not that big of a deal now that you've left the church building. No, no, like find some accountability. And then find some ways that you can testify to what God has done in your life as you fast. And it may not be the first minute. It may take time. We're gonna actually have a Facebook, a private Facebook group called at CCC Facebook, Walking Faithfully. And you wanna join that Facebook group where you can share what God is doing in your heart, maybe share a text of scripture that he's given to you. And we can kind of encourage each other in the midst of those fasts. I can encourage you to go search for that. CCC Facebook page, Walking Faithfully. It's a Facebook group. We've also got a 24-hour time of prayer coming up on May 3rd. A phenomenal time if you want to fast and enter into prayer. What a great time to do that. It's the National Day of Prayer, and we're going to start May 3rd at 7 p.m. and go all the way for 24 hours. And you can sign up at Info Central for a particular hour where you come and you pray. How many of y'all did that last year? I know there's a bunch of us that did. It was a phenomenal evening. It was so neat. I got here at 3 a.m. with my daughter and got to pray with several believers. It was so neat how the Lord met in that moment. So maybe you fast and prepare yourself for that. But I want to pray that you'd consider fasting. Because God's called us to it, and it's good for his people. I'm going to close with this, in this song. We are only here because Jesus denied his flesh. Because the Son of God stepped out of heaven and took on flesh, and he willingly suffered hunger, willingly suffered pain, willingly died his flesh to the point of the cross to save us. Fasting is a way to enter into that with him as believers. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, like, I want you to see that God doesn't just call us to some religious acts. Like, Jesus, the Son of God, stepped into a fast that is far greater than any of us could ever imagine for you, for me. He died on a cross that we might have salvation. And you can't talk about fasting and denying ourselves without considering how much Jesus did that for us. And I just call you, if you're here this morning, you don't know Christ, like I would invite you to come to the one who is willing to step into the ultimate fast for your sake. How much more could someone love you than to be willing to die for you when you were his enemy? And that's exactly what he did. I'm gonna pray, and then we're gonna sing a song. If you wanna talk to someone or pray with someone this morning about stepping into faith in Jesus or questions about fasting, I invite you to come down to the front and talk to prayer counselors and elders, as they'll be available for you. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. Father, fasting's not a fun topic, but we know that the fruit of it is beautiful and it is good. And so, Lord, I pray that you would stir a zeal in the heart of your people to step into this means of grace that you've given to us. We know it doesn't earn your favor. We know it doesn't make you happier with us, but you've given it to us as a means of grace that allows your spirit to enter in and to guide and to strengthen and to satisfy our souls with you, that we might be lights in this world. And so, Lord, I pray that you would be faithful to that. Father, we are so grateful that your Son Jesus was willing to suffer the ultimate fast, to die on a cross, to die to his flesh completely for the sake of all those he would call to himself. Lord, let that stir us. Let that drive us. Let it help us to desire to pursue you above everything else in this world. We pray and ask these things in your name. Amen.